camp that got back, I think, last week, and his experience from there, he was sharing with us, but just keep him in your prayers. But he seems to be, the Lord just seems really be blessing him, and we appreciate y'all's prayer and the church's support to him. He grew up here. This is where he went to the Sunday school classes, and all y'all invested so much in him, and I guarantee you, the Lord is using him. Well, if you have your Bibles, if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 4. Brother Chris has been going through Matthew with us here for, you know, step by step, but I'll give you a children's church pastor version here of a Matthew chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 14. The title tonight of this lesson is "Don't Hide Your Light." Don't hide your light. And it says here in verse 14, Matthew chapter 5, says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do man light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And then let me read to you, you don't have to turn to it, but John chapter 8 and verse 12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So we see there's a lot of importance in place there about light, about us being a light, you know, and of course Jesus, he puts it there in John, he's the light. He is the true light, and it's his light that when we become a Christian, when we open our heart to him and surrender our heart to him, and we invite him into our life, his light, you know, it's his love and to coming into us. That's what we need to let shine out. And I read a story in a Sword of the Lord book of illustrations that helped me something here. It's a true story about back in World War II time frame. There was an aircraft carrier shortly after Pearl Harbor that went, you know, after that event when America had, you know, stepped into the war. But this aircraft carrier in the Pacific, the fleet was heading out that way. And in this particular story, it said that this captain, they had spotted through the long-range reconnaissance planes and all this long-range stuff, they had spotted what part of the Japanese or part of a convoy of stuff of the Japanese fleet over here. And so what they went to do, they had these four jets had the bombs, but they sent them on a long-range mission. It was an unusual mission. It was a mission that they had no, the plan wasn't at all to, attack and try to sink a battleship or a carrier. That wasn't, you know, any part of their plan. But they were kind of spotters out respotting and checking positions of these other ships. Because we can't imagine, y'all, that ocean, the Pacific, going to our mind, can't even imagine the how large and how vast it is. And we got these giant old ships that are huge, and you put them on that ocean, they turn into nothing. You know, turning into little ants of nothing and trying to find the right things and find the other ship. Everything is out that vast ocean across there. Well, what they did with these guys is they said, "All right, we're going to send you on a long range to the very edge of your fuel. You're going to head out to where we got to think the location these are at." And what they're trying to accomplish, besides just spotting and finding out where everybody's at and all this stuff, besides that, they're trying to get these guys out there so they can make a daring, it's kind of a daring plan to me, man, that if they spot them stuff, they're going to catch them by surprise by the very act of what they've done. They spot them, they're supposed to go in and they're supposed to interrupt some of the aircraft carriers. They'll have no chance of sinking it, but they can fly in and whip in and drop their bombs and do stuff and be zipping out, but they can interrupt them. They can make it to be with their, like they're trying to get planes ready to take off to head to attack us, to attack the American convoy. They can drop the bombs across there, and they can make things all interrupt the things of what's trying to happen on the plans of the war. Well, they sent these guys out on this mission. It's interesting to read about, but it was a long range thing. Sure enough, these guys caught the location, was able to find that thing, and they were able to go in and do this surprise, you know, appear out of nowhere to these Japanese and do this. You know, they didn't come close to doing no kind of major damage, but they spotted, they did what the mission said, and then they dropped them, and then they're coming back. Well, on the way back, it's gotten real dark now, and it's gotten nighttime, and it's because this is a long range, they had to do what they did, and they're trying to get back now. Well, on the way back, submarines were spotted on the radar in the area where the American, you know, aircraft carrier that just came from. The captain of the aircraft carrier, he had the command, he had to give the order to run dark and run silent. And that means that all the lights had to be turned off. All the lights on the aircraft carrier, you know, the lights on the runway, where the jets come in to land, and all the big lights, the light spotlights floating across the top of the thing, spotting this ship, all the lights had to be turned off. And then they had to be silent. There could be no radio communication. There could be no noises being made, because that's what the submarines are spotted and trying to listen to, the noise and the lights and stuff. So the order is given, go dark and go silent. Well, the radio guy is standing there. He can't respond on the radio. All the lights are turned off, and these jets are trying to now come back from that long thing that they went to go do. Well, as they're coming back, they're not spotting no lights. And then they're trying to call on the radios. There's no answer coming back to them. The guys on the radio, they can't answer. They can't respond back to these guys that they're calling out, as they're trying to say this is bad, what it's got to be. And sure enough, they listened and they heard these guys that they overshot, way overwent, overpassed the where the ship was at out there, where they were trying to find. They, you know, they went off over it, and then they could listen in the rear and hear these guys were running out of fuel, and as they were crashing, you know, just as they were crashing into the ocean, all four of them were lost, you know, in that mission. They had accomplished what they had done, a great thing, what they had done, and what the information that they had given was a great information that helped us set up our strategy when we was going to get up, when we was getting close to the Midway battle that was going to happen, all that. It was greatly helped, but they couldn't find a way. And they couldn't find a way because there were no lights. You know, there was no lights. There was no lights that they had to keep the lights off. And I think about that, and I think about Jesus said, I'm supposed to be a light. You know, I'm supposed to be a light of his love in my heart. And what I've done, what he's done for me, I'm supposed to be a light to a dark world. And I guarantee you, y'all, we have a dark world that we have a chance to be a great light. I mean, we have an opportunity to be a great light as we represent our Lord in this world today. And that's what I think he's trying to tell us here, that we're a light that shouldn't be hidden. You know, we should never have our testimony of the Lord should never be a second thought or second notion of talk. It should be on our heart constantly to be said, but because we are his light that we represent, you know. And there's another story. I love this story. Now, here's the children's chart. I guess part of me, whatever. I read it. This is an awesome story. Back at the turn of the century in London, England, before electricity had been invented and found and started and stuff, but back before electricity, there was a preacher and his family. He had a wife and he had a little girl that was like 2 years old, and he had a son that was seven. And he's a preacher there, and the story says that he's coming home, of course, to his family, and his boy, his son, who's turned about seven, he used to always love to hang around after the meal and after they'd done the chores, the dishes, and whatever stuff. His family hang around together down there and play different games. They played together and stuff. But all of a sudden, the boy started wanting to get up to his room. He wanted to get up. He was important. He wanted to go. He had to get upstairs and go to his room and stuff. And they went by a little bit stuff. And mom, you get concerned about, why is he not wanting to stay down anymore? Or stuff like, why is he so busy about rushing up to his room? So the dad went to talk to his boy about the concerns of what happened to him, about why he's doing his chores, he's doing everything he's supposed to do, he shouldn't, but why is he not wanting to be a part down there? And so the dad goes up there to talk to him, and he says, stunned about the concerns, some stuff, and it's already gotten, a real dark time it's happened now. And the son told him, he goes, well, Dad, I don't know how to describe it. Something I want you to see, though. To answer your question, you've got to see it with me. I want you to see it with me. He said, Dad, tomorrow night, will you be able to come up here with me after we eat? Can you come up here with me? I got to show you something. And the dad said, well, sure, son. That's what I'll come be up here with you. So the next night comes, and boy, the boy can't hardly eat. They're sitting there at the table, and his food's all there, and he's excited and stuff. And he can't hardly eat and stuff. And then they start, food is done, and they take the table. He's rushing through, helping his mom get the dishes all off, and trying to do his chores and stuff. And London's the time of year is real cloudy and rainy season and real stuff. And he's looking at the window and the sun's he goes, Dad, we're gonna have to get upstairs. We're gonna have to get upstairs, though, Dad. So that's okay. So they get up the stairs to his room. And he goes over to his upstairs room, to the window. He opens up his window. Come here, Dad. Come here. He goes, now look, Dad. And the sun is going down behind the building. It's starting to go down there and stuff. He goes, Dad, you see Jimmy, his best friend? You see his window over there? See his window? See across there? Yeah, Dad. He said, Dad, look, watch. Watch. In just a little bit, watch. All of a sudden, that window starts disappearing. It gets darker and darker. Dad, see? You don't see Jimmy's window no more. No. Dark. And he goes, man, Dad, watch, Dad. Look down the road here, watch. Dad's looking. And all of a sudden, down the alley, down the roadway, down the London streets, down that way, they're looking. All of a sudden, I said, Dad, watch, look over there. Pew! There's a light. Way off in the distance. Keep watching, Dad. The dark, another light. Dad, this is great, Dad. And all of a sudden, down on the street, lights are coming up. And what it is, there's a man down there, and his job is he's got a long torch and his flames up, and he's going down the street there, and he's lighting these street lamps that are there in the streets of London. He's up lighting these lamps. And as he does, the light is illuminating and beginning to illuminate the street. And his boy just intently said, look. He goes, Dad, watch, look at it. And it's getting more and more lighter down the street. That man's lighting. And he goes, look at Jimmy's room now. Look at Jimmy's room across the road. They couldn't see it a while ago. It had gotten so dark. But now then, the lights all lighting up and the room across the way, the windows lighting up there. He goes, Dad, I've been watching this the last few nights. And I've been listening to you, Dad. You talk about Jesus comes into our hearts. And I know that. How he's inside of us like a light. He's the light of this world. And he goes, Dad, as I watch that guy, all I see is something I know I want to do. That man is punching holes in the darkness. He's just punching holes in the darkness. That is what I want to do. I want to punch holes in the darkness. And he said, Dad, I believe that's what we can do with what you see in the Bible. We can tell people about Jesus. We can share the love of Jesus. We can tell others about what he means. And in so doing, we can be punching holes in the darkness. I said, man. Whoa, son. He said, I can't know better way to put it. And that really it is. That from the kids, man, the Lord blessed me. I've been so blessed to be I can't believe it's been now over 40 years now of getting to be in the children ministry and getting to talk to kids and watch kids and see. Jesus, he's so real. It's like that one that the kid that said, "Daddy, I'm going to jump off the icebox into your arms because you can't not catch me. You know, you're going to always catch me." And they believe that. You know, they believe it. And Jesus, you know, Jesus, he becomes this. He's so real and so true and so honest to people. And in the eyes of those kids like that. And man, I tell you that, when I look at a verse like this, I think, "Lord, let me be a light. Let me be, you know, let me not be ashamed of the Lord and stuff." I don't share it with me, I promise you. And I'm not as sure as one before. I can't even remember stuff. But this is how great the Lord's light is, His light. I remember years ago when I was, boy, just freshly, just I'd been saved about 4 or 5 years. I think I was 24, 25 years old. I've been saved just about 4 or 5 years, and I was so excited serving the Lord and what He's doing. I was working a big plant here in Texas Instrument here in Lubbock, and at that time they had a plant of about 3,500 people or something. But I remember this. At the first of the month and at the end of the month, they had these big production meeting things with them, because they made calculators and they made watches and they made home computers and all kind of made all this product stuff. And they had these production meetings and all this stuff about how stuff was going. And they had me going to this meeting. They had me showing up to that meeting. But I never had to present anything. I never had to prepare anything. I never had to show anything. And it always put me so behind on my regular job when I had to go show up to this meeting with all the leaders of the stuff, you know. And I said, why am I at this meeting? You know, I don't know why I'm here. And so I went by several times of that stuff. And I told my supervisor one day, I said, why do I have to go? I said, man, it puts me all behind on what we're doing here and what this stuff and stuff. Why do I have to go to that meeting? And he told me this. And so this is to Jesus, right? He said, well, Stacy, they noticed this. You know, there's been some times you haven't went. There's been some times when you didn't go. And they said they've noticed, the president guy that noticed, they're, if you're at the meeting, they're not cussing, and they're not fighting, and they're not yelling and screaming and going off at each other and stuff. But if you're not there, everybody's cussing and at each other's throat, and everybody's all fighting and grumbling at each other. I was going, what? He said, yeah, you have a calmness feeling over the thing because I've been invited and represented and talking about the Lord and telling people about the stuff, but to think of His light shining through like that kind of way, you know, that's the only Him, you know. What else could it be? Don't hide your light, man. What a privilege we have. You know, I think we're living in the last times, the days, the Bible, they described it, and all of the world that it is. But what a privilege it is to be alive right now and representing the Lord right now and be able to stand for Him, you know. I want to read 1 John 1, verse number 7. 1 John 1, verse 7. It says, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, He cleanses us from all our sin." Just talking about that, walking in the light, you know, representing the light, and just being the light that the Lord wants us to be. Don't hide our light, huh? And that's the main desire I would have in my heart. I know we got Vacation Bible School coming up at the end of July. Boy, let's be, you're inviting them, bringing in your kids out, to it, have sleep parties with your kids. Let your kids have the slumber party over to have the kids to come. I know I probably still do, I guess. But parents used to hate me to come with all my was almost suggesting, let the kids do this, let the kids do that. Little boy, because I create all kind of chaos around the houses and around the places and stuff. Because I'd be saying, yeah, we got to do this or that. But just think about the light that we can be and should be for our Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Let's pray. But you got any announcement or anything? You got any announcements to make or anything?
No. I need a couple of men to help me take down these flags and maybe two or three women to fall on the floor if I fall off of it. No, I just need a couple of men that will help pull me around on that scaffold when I take down the flags. And so a couple of you guys will help me. I appreciate it.
Amen. This is so nice, David. All right, well, if we stand, and we'll stand and we'll have a word of prayer, and you help with Brother David on that, of course, pray for our preacher and stuff. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity and privilege of being in your house tonight. Thank you for the, Lord, the time on the prayer list, and the Lord, thank you for the people, Lord, we got to take off, but Lord, those added to be with each and every need that's there. Bless our preacher, Lord, is that, Lord, he's away. Give him a good time away, Lord, but bring him back safe, Lord, and to your house and to your people. And bless this Sunday. Thank you for camp and the decisions that were made and just all the wonderful things there. And, Lord, just thank you for your church and your people. This is a great Wednesday night crowd, Lord. I just thank you for Bible Baptist Church and for just some dedicated, faithful, just loving people, Lord. And I just thank you for them. And, God, I pray you bless every home in a special way. And, God, you just help us to just let you guide us and let you be the center focus to our hearts and our doings, Lord. And, Lord, we just give you all the glory, Lord, because that's who deserves it and needs it, Lord. And we do love you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.